Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's Reality Bites. Every episode on the Believe Podcast Network, I sit down and talk about what most men are forced to watch by a loved one multiple times a week in the great United States of America, reality TV. Most men pretend not to like it or admit that they watch it, but I, Rob Evers, your sports-loving, Go Eagles, liquor-chasing, girl-chasing host, just happens to be obsessed with reality TV. Today, I'm sitting down with a good friend of mine, actor extraordinaire, Chris Williams. You guys might know Chris from such shows as Silicon Valley. He was Hoover on Silicon Valley. The great, great movie Dodgeball, where he played Dwight. Loved your headband in that, right? Wasn't that your thing, the headband?
Yes.
Crazy Eyes.
I have my headband in everything.
Crazy Eyes Killer in Curb Your Enthusiasm, which people love that role, man. People remember that. That's like an iconic role now.
Big time.
Yeah. And then just recently you've been recurring on a show called Upload, right? Upload. That's on Amazon, right?
Amazon Prime, yes, indeed.
How's that going?
It's good, man. We just finished our second season. And excited to see what's there's a big cliffhanger, so hopefully we get a third.
Is that where you were doing quarantining?
Two weeks in a hotel room. Couldn't in Canada, could not leave.
I was watching you lose your mind, slowly go crazy.
Well, you know,
when you started putting wigs on the furniture is when I didn't know where what country you were in, so I couldn't go help you.
Minimum my 10,000 steps a day, I had to get it in the hotel room. So one day I did 9 miles actually.
In the hotel room?
In the hotel room.
How does that even happen?
Walking in circles.
You had,
I had a path from through the kitchen, mm-hmm. through the dining room to the living area, back to the kitchen, which is about 39 steps. So I figure if I did that 100 times, that's 3,900 steps. And then I did it, you know, so I was just walking in circles.
And then they just...
should be on the phone.
Do they just drop off food for you at the...
Drop off food, order in. And I had made smoothies and I had a little kitchenette, so I had some food delivered. So...
Oh, my God.
I actually enjoyed it.
Did you have a view or anything?
I had a balcony, thank goodness.
Yeah.
And I was jump roping on the balcony.
Yeah.
It's a little cold, but I had fun. I mean, I was just walking all day and
you get to know yourself doing that shit, huh?
Big time. God. And no one bothers you. Yeah. I had to change my own, you know, change your own sheets in the hotel. And,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No one can come in for 2 weeks.
I guess that's true. I didn't even think about that shit. Yeah. Wow. Damn. Well, so you're enjoying the show?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's, we'll be... I don't know when it's coming. It takes so long to put together things nowadays. Maybe like a year.
Yeah.
Till it comes out again.
You've done... I was looking at your IMDb, and you've done 126...
I've done a lot of things.
Shit.
A lot of things. And barely gaining traction on some shows, but I've been in... You name the show, pretty much I've been in it.
I think when we became friends, I think it was like 2005 when we like, I don't remember.
In class?
Was it class? Was it Sandy Marshall?
It was Sandy Marshall's
Yeah,
class.
That's right. Yeah. And I mean, so for those who don't know, there's different acting teachers out here in LA. And I mean, some of them are just, you know, snake oil salesmen, right? Like Leslie Kahn and all those fuckers. But like there's some that you have to have like a resume in order to get in or know somebody that has
someone
gets you in, right? And this one class was just all working actors and Sandy loved it.
And they're still working today. Still working today.
Still working a lot today. And I think you had just done the Indian movie.
World's Fastest Indian Anthony Hopkins.
Who just won an Oscar last night.
I know. Isn't that crazy? It was an odd award ceremony.
Yeah,
last night for the Oscars.
Yeah, lowest ranked Oscars ever.
Yeah,
they should have just done the whole Zoom thing.
I kind of dug the vibe of it. I mean, the vibe was kind of cool, like casual, old school, how it was done in the 40s. You know, kind of dinner and then celebrate. You know, Hollywood. So it wasn't the big, magnificent event.
Gala, right?
Right. So I kind of like the little vibe, but. They're not really movies because you can't see them on a big screen.
But I guess that's true. I either had friends that saw all of them or none of them.
Right.
You know? But also, like, we have so many award ceremonies now. that like the SAG Awards and all these other things are smaller, independent, the Spirit Awards, like that kind of shit, that that's why the Oscars is the Oscars, because that's the big one and you right. want it to be a big deal.
You do.
So when it wasn't a big deal last night, it was kind of like, and then you had like Harrison Ford, who's stoned, like mumbling on stage for like,
that was odd.
And they weren't playing off people.
No, oh no, they got to talk for a long time.
And then when they showed the dead people, it was like,
exactly.
Because they were like, oh wait, whoever produced the Oscars this year must have been new.
And you notice the Best Picture was before Best Actor and Best Actress this year.
Because they were setting it up for Boseman.
Chadwick Boseman, which is odd. Yeah, I don't know about that.
If you're producing it, and I understand that they try to keep it a secret, you know, the whole hush-hush of it, but like somebody should have been like, wink, wink, it's not going to be like, we're not setting it up this way. He's not going to win, because they set it up to be that this was the grand finale that Chadwick Boseman was going to win.
Right.
Because he was amazing in that.
Right.
But like, then Anthony Hopkins wasn't even there.
I know. Because they didn't think he was going to win.
He said he was asleep.
He
said he was in Wales asleep.
He was the oldest winner.
Yeah, 83 years old.
He's a dude. Can I just tell you my Anthony Hopkins story?
Please.
While doing World's Fastest Indian, first of all, I'm in complete drag. I play transvestite. So in the 60s for this called the World's Fastest Indian, because it's about this guy who has the world's fastest Indian motorcycle.
Right. It's about like a German guy or Dutch guy or something.
New Zealand guy. Kiwi guy.
Who breaks the sound barrier.
Breaks the sound barrier record in Utah. So I'm on set and I had 5 hours of waxing.
Oh, man.
My chest, my arms,
are
my
you
back,
that hairy?
My pick, I mean.
Oh, shit. Yeah. All right. I don't need to see that again.
So 5 hours. 5 hours. So. So all my scenes are with Anthony Hopkins. I have 8 scenes with him, all just me and him, like no one else, just me and him. And well, there's a couple of people anyway, but so I'm in the car with him. And I'm like, I have Anthony Hopkins' attention. Like, what do you like? I was trying to write down questions like that I could ask him the next day, or like, so I just started talking to him about stuff, and he's telling me about a story that when he was like 10, he wrote Charlie Chaplin a letter saying how much he loved the movies and how much the other. Charlie Chaplin wrote him back.
What?
And I was like, do you have the letter? He's like, no, my mom lost it or something like that. I was like, oh. But Charlie Chaplin wrote him back.
So this is all Anthony Hopkins hearsay.
Wrote him back. And then when he was announced for Silence of the Lambs, he was in his trailer shooting Chaplin.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
And the second cool thing about him is he was such a generous, nice guy. I was up for a role for a pilot in a USA sitcom, USA Network. And I was talking about it. He's like, so what are you doing next? I'm like, I'm trying to audition for this thing. He's like, well, if you need any help, just let me know. And I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, just, you know. So he's like, well, I think I know the president or something like over USA Network.
Oh,
so
he meant like help. He didn't mean like let me run lines
like,
with you.
He was like, let me help you. And I'm like, are you sure? He's like, you know, I didn't want to ask.
Yeah.
You know, he said that.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't want to say anything, but I, you know, I'd love to if I can. I'm like, oh, you can.
Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins called up the president of USA Networks. He's like, what do you want me to say? I was like, just say that you're working with me. He said, okay. Got him on the phone and said, I'm working with Chris Williams right now. He's fantastic. Please consider him for this and the others. He made the phone call.
Oh, my God.
That's how cool Anthony Hopkins is.
Well, how the fuck did you not get that role?
Right?
he hangs up. He's like, by the way, the president of USA Networks hates me. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyways, that's my little
dude, Anthony. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I mean, you know, I was thinking about the other day, like directors that I've worked with, because I've been really lucky in the small amount of things that I've done. Because, you know, Dodgeball and Project X are kind of the same.
Right.
They're like cult favorites. People love them. They remember you forever, that kind of thing. And you got to work with like great, you worked with great people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I got lucky working with like directors and shit from like commercial. Like I worked with David O. Russell on a fucking.
Oh, wow.
On a commercial for like, I think it was like. Meat. Oh yeah, it was like Oscar Mayer or some shit. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And like I got the role because I didn't care about him. Like, he was being an asshole to me in the audition. I was like, go fuck yourself. It's basically what I said.
Right.
And I got cast somehow. But anyway, like, you think about who you get to work with, and it's not, it's about like the quality of the shit, not the quantity. You know right. what I mean? Although your quantity and quality have been fucking amazing, which is, you know,
but awesome. To, you know, you're working with a great actor when it doesn't feel like you're working with anybody but just another, you know, he's Anthony Hopkins. And being in a scene, I'm like, oh shit, there was no, his no ego. Yeah. And I was like, what advice do you have? Like, what? He's like, know your lines and say them.
Yeah.
He's like, just keep it really simple. It's really, it's, really simple. He was talking about how he used to be so drunk. And he was telling me stories about Olivier and him being smash drunk and giving up alcoholism, you know, not giving it up,
but giving up alcoholism. Alcohol. As yeah. I sip my tequila, you're stone sober right now. I'm like, what are you talking about giving up alcoholism?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. So
that's awesome.
Good,
man.
Good for Tony. I can call him Tony.
Oh, you can call him. Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
for winning.
Sir Tony.
Right. But we met in Sandy's class. Yeah.
We met in Sandy's class. Yeah. A long time ago. And then I don't think I ever knew that you liked reality TV. Like, oh, no. See, that's the whole point of this podcast, right? Is that, like, it all started because, like, I'm very obviously very open about my love for reality TV. I will go to fucking fisticuffs with anybody if they start talking shit on reality. Cedric and I go to fisticuffs all the time because he's not a big reality fan.
Right.
And he kind of makes fun of me because of my reality fandom.
Exactly.
And I'm like, you just don't tune into the right shit.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So
if you're just fascinated by the human experience,
yes,
the quote unquote almost true but mostly true human experience, there's a lot of shit.
Look, if you're tuning into like TMZ's videos
right.
on fucking Instagram about people fighting in a Miami airport, you see this one?
I
yet?
Saw that.
Like, then it's the same shit.
It's the same shit.
What we're
doing, but scripted.
All we're doing is just finding the one individual from the fucking fight and then following him a little bit further into his life. You know what I mean?
And how did they get to be so fucking crazy?
Yeah.
There's some crazy.
What made you want to start a fist fight for a middle seat in a fucking plane to Oregon?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So what reality show, like, hit you? Which ones? Which one?
I don't know.
Like,
the first. I mean, I did a big, you know, watched Big Brother.
Yeah, and right.
Watched, you know, like Real Housewives of Atlanta when it first came. I did a movie in Atlanta, and two of the housewives were on it. Like, this is the first season. No, right. They were going to the second season.
They were in like season. They were trying to
Kim, the blonde girl who had her own spinoff,
Zemeckis
Zolciak.
Zolciak.
And Cherie were extras in The Joneses, the film I did with David Duchovny.
Right.
So we were just hanging out, and I'm like, I didn't know who they were.
Right.
But they only had the first season that was out, so the second season. So I started watching them and going, oh, these are the girls that were in the thing. And then I watched that, and I watched some of the New Jersey just because I heard it was fucking nuts. And I'm just fascinated by, like, really? Are these really people like this? I mean, and then And then I, you know, random ones. But then I started really, really, the last couple of years, 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
I think really got me to, and Married at First Sight. Those are my top two.
Well, those are the two that we'll, like, we're definitely going to talk about those tonight. And I'm going to need your help on a couple of them. Because there's some that, like, I'm so excited to watch.
Right.
But there's just... So back in the day, there was like, you know, 8 reality shows and you'd watch them and you'd keep up with them. I'm, like I said, I base most of my week around reality shows and I can't keep up with it all.
Not
the
at
shit.
All.
And now they're streaming and stuff.
Streaming extra stuff.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to help me out with some of these because like I don't watch The Real Housewives. Like
I haven't watched them since.
Okay.
So my sister watches them, but
did you? Oh, really?
I've stopped watching.
Yeah. I was at a house last night after the Oscars, and the mother and daughter that I'm friends with were like, the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion's on tonight.
I heard.
Come watch with me, and I'm like, I don't know any of those people, and I really don't want to watch 45-year-old women yell at each other about hooking up with a priest from all I can tell from the commercials or whatever it is, you know? So, or a pastor or whatever it is. So.
And it helps to have the, I love having the context of once they get to the final thing, because you're like, all the stuff that has gone up to the madness and craziness with who this person is, it's like, I can't believe some of these stories sometimes. And Love After Lockup is my real trashy one. that I could not write. I could not write these descriptions. You would think of it too far. It's like if I said to you, yeah, the heavyweight champion, was he going to bite his ear off?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a fight? Oh, yeah, okay, that's a really good script. You know, there's no way that's ever going to happen. You know what I'm saying? I mean...
So that's a good segue into what I think we should talk about. So my last couple episodes... Oh, by the way, guys, I don't know if you're enjoying it or not, but I finally have somebody to talk to, which I'm loving. The last two episodes I did of this podcast were by myself because it was quarantine, right, and it was still kind of shitty and everything, you know? Nobody was vaccinated yet. Chris and I are both vaccinated, by
fully
the way.
Vaxxed.
Fully vaccinated. Vaxxed and maxed. Only took us 15 minutes into the podcast to, like, mention that. The last one I talked about, I decided to do like genres.
Okay.
So the last show I talked about was the like cooking shows.
Nice.
Right? So I talked about like Hell's Kitchen and Top Chef.
Cutthroat Kitchen was one of my favorites.
There's so many of them, you know, but that's the thing with reality TV too, is that like you can dive, you can have a whole genre that you watch and then never ever go see another reality show on the other side, right?
Right.
Like we were talking about the adventure shows that we watch. Mm-hmm. Like you could talk about Alone.
Eco Challenge.
All that shit.
Right.
You know?
Grills, Bear Grills, yep. Like all his stuff. And then there's the home design ones.
There's the home design ones.
Home design is all crazy ones. And then there's the making things or the competitions like tattoos, cakes.
Right.
Now there's a new pottery one.
Yeah, that one looks kind of cool. Killing it or something like that. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, and then, you know, then there was, you would have to fish for a lot of them, you know? And then... Now it's like everywhere.
Every channel pretty much has their own little thing. Yeah. And the TLC, and I would never have watched. Why would I have watched Lifetime? Now I watch Lifetime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I always have the Lifetime app. Let me see if I can catch up on the episode.
I always forget that I'm watching Lifetime with Married at First Sight until it's the commercials. And then it's like some overdramatic actress being like, you took my baby.
Oh,
and they're
God.
Like,
those
you're
are
like,
hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
Those are funny.
Jason Priestley starring in that. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, I'm watching Lifetime. That's right. I totally forgot. So I thought today we would talk about the love genre.
Done.
Because there's so much,
to
talk about.
And we're not even talking in the spinoffs of like Sister Wives.
Nope.
Or some of these other.
Well, I mean, those are.
I guess that could be considered.
Those are kind of
dating. Yeah, that's a
see,
love.
That's, and I think that's what I want to talk
a family.
About.
Family. What's the distinction between.
Because there is a genre of family shows. Right.
All the kids.
Like your TLC, right? Like right. TLC, I call it the little channel because it's usually little people that are on the shows, right? But it could also be like the lunatic channel because like you have these shows like the whole family thing with the Duggars and the Plaths and the Roloffs and all that other stuff where you're just following a family, K+8, you know, those things.
That's the one, the Mormon, what's the Mormon one again?
The Mormon one is the Duggars.
The Duggars.
Those are the ones in like Alabama or Arkansas. They're in Arkansas. Okay.
And there's the Amish.
There's
Amish life.
Right, exactly. So that's like a whole nother genre, right?
Right.
Sister Wives kind of falls in there because it's less about love, the relationship, and more about like the four of them having a family dynamic. Does that make sense?
Just surviving a family of having three wives.
Yeah, if you're going to have three wives, you deserve all this shit. You know what I mean? Like if you're going to be so greedy that you're going to go marry three women, then you take the good with the fucking bad, buddy. You know what I mean? Like you get – I don't want to see you – Cody pulling out your fucking hair and bitching about the fact you chose to have three
different wives. And you knowing them, they're not going to get along. All
no.
The time. Yeah.
The first one was like not down with it.
Right.
Anyway. So
but the relationship ones like Love is Blind, which was a fun one over the pandemic.
So this is the one. This is what I want to talk about because like Love is Blind falls into this category that we're going to talk about today, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything with the word love in the title.
Yes.
Or about matching on TV. Because there's a certain psychosis that you have to have to go on national television to try and find your soulmate.
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to, too, people are so... It's twofold because I think people want so much attention also. Some of them are going on these shows just for the attention. And some people are going on really, truly wanting to find someone and literally, truly cannot find anyone. So you might as well have someone set you up or a situation where, look, the divorce rate in California is 67%, whatever, 70%.
Right.
And in the nation, it's, you know, 50, 60%.
Yeah. So more than half people
more than get and divorced. And those are actually getting divorced and not even counting the ones who should be divorced.
Right. Right. Right.
So,
right, right, right.
So people are so desperate to find love and matches and connections. And the weird, I think the weird thing about it also is the fact that it's all it's global too.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can find someone and have access to someone every day who lives in Tajikistan.
Okay, so you're talking about 90 Day Fiancé.
But 90 Day Fiancé, yes.
Right. So
but,
let's talk about that show.
Okay.
Okay. So this is a show where you have supposedly normal people,
yes,
that are having relationships. They're getting catfished, basically.
Yes, some
most
of them
most
are, yes.
of the time.
A lot of times, a lot of times they are,
and their family's not on board with it most of the time.
Most of the time, because it's first of all, most of them haven't met,
right?
So they had a relationship, you know, across the between Colombia or Russia or Kiev, you know, wherever they are. They usually have not met them yet, so they have relationships that way, and then they want to consummate it when they finally meet. And in order to come to the United States and have them stay, they've got 90 days to get married.
Right.
If after 90 days they don't get married, they got to go back.
And then you have the family who's automatically poo-pooing it.
Right.
Because they think, why would this person want to marry you? You guys have never seen each other.
Right.
Also, you're 372 pounds and 4'11". And
you'd be surprised if some of these, you'd be surprised. Yes, there are those.
There are
but
those.
You'd be surprised if some of the, you can, it's interesting to see how clear they want the green card. You know, how much of them are they really into it? Like this one woman right now is a 53-year-old white woman who wants to marry a 27-year-old Belizean guy from Belize.
Okay.
And met him, as a thing and was going to marry him. And then slept with his cousin because she was down in Belize because she was mad at him and got rid of him. And now wants to bring the other guy back.
So she knows what she's doing. She's just throwing that green card around like it's a fucking
I think so.
Hall
and
pass
was paying
to,
for his
America.
Family. Yes.
Yeah, that's, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, to come take care of her.
I've seen a couple here's the thing too. This is another reason why I couldn't watch all the 90 Day Fiancés is because the spinoffs
There's so many.
Is a fucking confusing roadmap. It's like 90 Day this way, 90 Day that way. That's what they call them.
Right.
90 Day Around the World starting East.
And Pillow Talk is literally watching the episode, the current episode, with past participants of 90 Day Fiancé and their views on. So Pillow Talk is actually pretty good because all the same things that we're saying,
yeah,
they're saying too, but we know who they are from their relationships.
Yeah, I just watched you try almost get stabbed by your person
right,
in your
right,
house when
right.
they threw the ring at you.
Exactly.
Like oh.
When you had to pay a dowry of 30 cows and you couldn't afford it because you didn't have to her Thai family and you couldn't afford it because you don't have a job right now.
I also that's the other
because
thing.
She's 26 and you're 48. Literally.
Something wrong with that.
There's not
Come on, Chris. We live in LA.
Exactly.
You got two men sitting here who have no problem with that age.
I'm saying the problem with the family having a problem with them.
Right.
But they,
Also what I learned is that like some of these people, it always drives me crazy because it's like, if you're going to try to marry somebody from Uzbekistan,
right?
Learn about Uzbekistan, especially if you're going, to quote the show title, the other way. Like you have to learn about that country. You can't go to a Muslim country
right.
and be a woman and not live by that religion.
Well, she had her Instagram and her titties all out and her ass all out, and she's trying to be with this man from Jordan. I'm like, how is this even gonna?
You're going
to
get stoned.
And even the people who are this guy, one guy, David, this older guy, he's like 50 years old, found this beautiful 27-year-old woman in the Ukraine.
Oh, okay.
7 years he's dated her.
Never met. Okay.
And
now she's 27.
And he's been over there. Four times.
Okay, wait. She's not 20 now.
No.
And
no.
They started when
she was 21, 22, I think, and now
she's 28.
She's
29.
28, 29.
Okay, she wasn't 13 at the beginning.
No, no, no.
Okay,
no.
All right.
And now he's 50 or whatever.
Okay.
and he's retiring, and he wants someone lives in Vegas, and he's a dork guy, and this guy David, and 7 years. So he was sending her money, and they only communicate through a website. They've never FaceTimed. So the fascinating part, which I watch, is like we're all going screaming. That's like you see a horror movie, and you're like, run!
Yeah.
He's coming at you with a knife.
Right.
You see this guy going, you do realize that she's a catfish, right? You've never talked to her on camera, seen her.
You see
pictures
of her.
For 7 years, you've sent her $40,000.
Wow.
Because you're paying the website.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have her phone was out. Oh, he went to the Ukraine 4 times, and each time when he was supposed to meet her, she stepped him.
Because she's a dude.
Then hired a private investigator to go investigate him, found out she's on 3 other different sites.
Oh.
So, you know, it's not, he fired the investigator because, you don't know her like I know her.
Oh, yeah.
That's what gets me of like, you've got, many times I go, you've got to be kidding me.
So, I mean, obviously the producers go and find this guy. They probably researched Uzbekistan girl.
Well, they do that, but they also ask for, you know, at the end of every episode, they say, you know, anyone in a relationship. So I wonder I'm curious on how they find them.
That's what I'm saying. So that goes to the love thing, right? Like so what do you think's worse? Being on a show like that, where like you're airing your laundry out, but you really think you're going to marry this person.
Yes.
Right? Or like The Bachelor, where like you're meeting that person and 6 weeks from now, even though you are, you know, seeing their face and you know who they are and all that other shit, and you're competing against 15 other girls, if you make it to the end of The Bachelor or Bachelorette and you win,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote win, right? You probably only went on 4 one-on-one dates with that person.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
if you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Right.
Right. And then you're supposed to get engaged, right? So it's like, what's the more love level there? Right. Like, do you know what I mean?
Of course. Or is it a kind of competition to beat out the other girls, A? Or, I mean, he's a rich guy. Usually is successful if it's The Bachelor.
Well, when the show started, it was like the whole point of The Bachelor when the show first started, it was a show called Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire?
Right.
Right? And it was like a competition on a stage, I think.
I saw that.
Remember that? And it was like, you had like, it was like a millionaire dude and like 3 wives that came out, and he had to like go through a series of competitions, and like, there was like a swimsuit competition, I think. And, you know, remember?
There was one on Fox, like, was it 2 years? Last year, 2 years. Was it Marrying a Millionaire? Is that what it was?
No, but it was like,
because Lisa Ray was on there. Lisa Ray was one of the millionaires, and she could screen. I think that was another film, another thing on Fox.
Fox is really good at doing,
because Joe Millionaire was on Fox.
So Joe Millionaire's one. I mean, the Bachelor franchise itself didn't have spinoffs on their own. They did. They had Bachelor Pad and Bachelor in Paradise and all that other stuff, but they sparked. I mean, anything where at the end of the episode you're giving an award to people to stick around, Flavor of Love.
Oh my God, I think that may have been the beginning of the, because that shit was gold.
Awesome. That was awesome.
That was gold.
And in New York.
New York has
Rock of Love. Like
all of them,
all of those things, like because that's the thing too, Chris. Oh, this is why I need another person in my podcast, because like my brain just goes boom, boom, boom all over the walls. Because then now you're thinking like VH1 was showing this shit,
yeah,
and it was because it was trash,
right?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it was like they took this reality TV Finding Love thing, put it on ABC. It was romantic,
right?
It's like Find Your Prince Charming, and then VH1 went, yeah, but
right.
It could also be this.
Right.
Then you had all that, you know, all these like different spinoffs and everything, and then they're bringing it back around to like real love shit.
Flavor of Love was hysterical.
Tequila, shot of love with tequila, whatever it is.
Tequila, yes.
I mean, which is like the new modern day Love Island.
Yeah.
And
I've also watched Temptation Island too.
See?
That's like, an interesting one.
But Temptation Island was one of the originals. Temptation Island was like 1999 that first came out.
And then they came back out. They redid it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like,
oh, well, there's also Love Island.
No. Love Island, Temptation Island was one of the original ones that I remember because one of the girls on there was so hot. And they used to come in. I worked, I say this on my podcast all the time. People that listen to the podcast know, but because I worked at Saddle Ranch, I was the fucking, was like the mecca of reality TV people. When their show was over, they would come to LA and they'd work at Saddle Ranch.
Right.
We had Temptation Island people that would come work
there too. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But that show almost turned me off from reality TV because it was so horrible. Because you go with a, with, you're in a relationship when you go to Temptation Island, right?
And you don't know if you're gonna, it's gonna last or what, what's gonna happen. I mean, if you're going there,
Is there a show? Because I know what you're about to say. Is there a show that you think that's on TV right now that really deals with love?
As a reality show that really deals with love. Well, I mean, the premise of Love is Blind really is getting to know someone without actually seeing them, as not as physical attraction.
Yeah, but I mean,
so if you're relating to that person.
Yeah, but I don't know about you, dude, but like, I need that punch in the gut when I meet somebody, right? And that, a lot of that's physical. But a lot of it's also knowing the energy, right?
But also the punch in the gut also can be trouble because she could be an absolute psycho.
Oh, I'm 44 and single. So, of course, yes, right?
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm 53 and single.
But like, but my point is that like, Love is Blind also proved to you with fucking crazy Jessica? Jessica, I think her name was Jennifer. Jessica?
Yes. Yeah.
That like, she thought she had it. And then she forced herself to, like, on paper with somebody. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Because she didn't get chosen.
Right.
So it's like, then she saw the person, and all of a sudden, love was out the window.
But that black couple.
So love isn't blind.
But the black girl and the white guy, they hit it off. They fell in love right away, and they, very successful.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Is it's going to be, I mean, you have one out of every seven seasons of The Bachelor where they make it.
Right. But that's like real life, though. If you think about it, why would that percentage be more than real life?
So,
and sometimes they are actually, sometimes they actually like, if you watch Married at First Sight, it was eight or nine couples out of the whole twelve seasons. Yeah, but it started with three, and it was four, and then it was three, four. Now they're up to five. So you figure, I think it's been 20 different couples, maybe. And seven have made it, maybe 22, have made it.
So,
that's a pretty good percentage.
So Married at First Sight is another one that I just started watching.
Right.
And I don't know how I missed this.
For people
show.
Who don't know what Married at First Sight is.
You tell them.
It is basically, they have five different couples. And they have a pastor, they have a psychologist, they have a sex psychologist. And
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper, right. And they all come up with an algorithm or whatever.
That itself is a fucking, it's like a, come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So they come up and they said they had 80,000 people apply for it.
But but for why? Like you're not.
Because it forces you, look, if you're going to get married to someone and you don't know anything about them, but if you had someone vet someone for you that you trusted, three different people said, out of all these people, we think this would be perfect for you. And the great example for that, which justifies the whole show, is that last year there was two individuals that were so bizarre as individuals that no one in the world would be perfect for them except for the other person. The girl had hair on her. She was a hippie from New Orleans, had hair on her arms, was studying to be a doctor. I mean, she was going to med school, but like lived in a commune, kind of in a big house with seven other people and like nose ring and wore bird hats and crazy. And this dude from New Orleans who built his own little house, who wears a dress to bed. He wears like a long
moo-moo
to bed. And he wasn't really working. He was doing theatrical stuff. Not making $25,000 a year, making no money, and she was going to be going to law school,
right.
And she just wanted someone to, you know, take care of if they have a child, be a stay-at-home dad. And they, the whole time meeting with them, the whole courtship, everything, you could not make a more perfect couple than these two people. They got married and Married at First Sight. He tattooed her name on his ass when they were in the decision day. And now they moved when she's in med school.
Hmm.
So that, I mean, finding him a match, I don't know how you could find this. And finding her, but putting them together was like, It made everything justified.
Was that last season? Was that season?
That was not this season that's on right now. That was last
season. So it was season 11. So at this point, they'd watched the show probably and been like, this might be the best opportunity for me to do that.
Yeah, I think so. As a whim. But I think both of them were like, as a whim.
So because where I was going to go with my questioning for you was like, why not go to Match.com? Why not go to eHarmony? Why not do Bumble or Hinge?
Because people are vetting them. You think
that's what I'm saying.
People are vetting them.
She was going to show up with her...
Right.
Look, and right. then he was going to show up with
and his... And they get married at first sight. So they don't know who the person is. They don't know what they look like. So until they walk down the aisle and they see them. And you're like, oh, shit, am I attracted to them or not? Hopefully. And some and like in the first season, this girl, Jamie, she looked at him and was like, he is not my type. I don't want him to touch me. I don't want anything to do with him. She was crying in her dress right after they finished getting married.
Yeah.
And he was like just a nice guy. And he's like, okay. They went on the honeymoon. She's like, don't touch me. Put pillows in between us. I don't want to. I'm not really attracted to you. This don't. And he's like, okay, okay. And waited her out and saw that he was a nice guy. Now they have their own show. They have two kids.
Really?
They were in the first season. She was so mean about him and to him, but he was like, okay, I'll just wait. And then they had one of the honeymoon. She's like, I think I like him. And they've been there because they were married and they've had a successful and they have two kids now.
But do you think that has anything to do with the fact that they're going through an experience together?
But you're forced to.
That's what I mean.
You're forced to. People, I could see me doing that, and I can almost see you doing that if they set you up with someone. You like, look, I've dated around. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. I know who I am.
Yeah.
And I hopefully, and you haven't found anybody or something, like, fuck it. Why not?
Right. Yeah. But at the same time, like, so the dude that was on this season, Chris, was.
Oh, Chris Williams.
Is that his last name?
Oh, yes.
I did not even put it together. Oh my God. Yeah. He has got to be, and this is coming from me, one of the worst people I've ever seen on reality TV in my life.
Yes.
He is the most narcissistic.
Yes.
But also, like, just, he doesn't give a fuck about anybody else, but himself. Do you know what I mean? And, like, if you say something, like, if he's like, oh, this is the color blue, and you're like, that's obviously yellow. He like gets mad at you for having an opinion.
He's awful.
Do you know what I mean?
He's really
the worst.
Right. If you're watching this season, that's the season that he said her. He's like, all the women in LA and you set me up with her. I mean, I don't like her. Look at her face. I don't like it.
Yeah. But he fucked her four times.
Yeah. On the wedding night.
On the wedding night.
Yes. And was fucking her the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't attracted to her.
Right. He's just the worst.
He's a narcissistic.
This is the thing too. Is like, you could tell he's like, I mean, the dude's bipolar. Like, there's something medically wrong with him. He was homeless for a little while. Everybody goes down on their luck. But to come back up and be in a situation where you go back and forth that much, also to the point of, like, when he's on camera and not on camera, there's certain shit that's going on.
And but mind you, he was having a baby.
Right.
He didn't know he was having a baby.
Right. Because he had hooked up with his ex-fiance,
and she got pregnant, and then he got married to this other
6
woman.
6 weeks, obviously, beforehand. Just a
fucking...
Right, because he wanted to be on TV.
But then I also wonder, the conspiracy is how much do the...
Producers.
Right. Now, they've gone 12 seasons now. They know what they're doing now.
Well, but that's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, is that, like, these so-called experts, because this is my first go on the show, I'm like, these guys suck. Like, they picked the most... sell out experts that they could fucking find, because nobody else that's a clinical psychologist is going to say these two should try to work it out. Do you know what I mean? Or like, we can make, you know, you're married now, so let's figure it out. Or we should put these two together. There's no way.
But there is a consideration to be said for the two of them were both very Christian, God-fearing.
No. I'm saying that you're up, say, all right, so let's go with the pastor guy, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. What's his name?
Pastor Cal.
Okay, Pastor Cal, right? Pastor Cal has to have that little bit of like, what's my, you know, paycheck? Because something's got to be in him where he can go, all right, the producers can go, here are our final, you know, matches for these people.
Well, they decide too.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And then Pastor Cal go, okay, well, these guys are, you know, I picked these guys. They're like, yeah, but this would be better TV. And then Pastor Cal goes, well, this would be better for them psychologically and to work with everything. And they're like, okay, who can we get away with you? Do you know what I mean?
True.
So Pastor Cal has to have that last line of like, that morality has got to, you know, he's got to have that little less morality than probably what a regular pastor would be doing.
Well, he's obviously on a reality TV show and is trying to work with what he has too. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they see a lot. It's not like they see a lot of people.
They have a new show, Unmatchable.
And that's exactly on the did you watch that one?
I didn't watch it yet.
Oh my God. So they took two it's at the end of this the tell all whatever. And they have basically two people that submitted but they could not match. One guy was like really fastidious about everything he did and, you know, black eye and everything has to be right. She has to look right and this, that, and the other. So they want him to loosen up a little bit, not be in control for it. The other woman, farts all the time.
Oh.
In public, in front. She's like, it's just gas. And this, that, and the other. I mean, and hadn't had a kiss and hadn't been in a relationship for 11 years since she was a teenager.
Oh.
So they're trying to set the two of them up and put them on a date.
Oh, they're trying to set up the Unmatchables with each other?
Blind date with two Unmatchables.
See, that's my point. It's the show's called Unmatchable, and you're trying to match them with the people that are unmatchable.
But they work with them to get them matchable.
I get it, but like if you're unmatchable and I'm unmatchable, don't put us with other unmatchable people. Put us in the world and help us fix our things that are unmatchable with like regular people.
That's not good TV. This is TV.
Right, okay.
TV. So we have to hold out a little bit of, well, it is TV. Are you watching it? Yes. If everything was roses and fairy tales and they matched everyone together, we would not watch it. We watched it go, that Chris Williams is an asshole.
Yeah. Not you.
Right, not me. But you know what I mean? Seriously, that's why we watch. Even if it's that little nugget, it just gives you just enough tease to go, can you believe this? You're like, really? Really?
What about, so tell me about this Love After Lockup.
Oh my God, dude. You cannot write these storylines.
Okay, so is this?
And it was a whim. I saw this thing. I'm like, what is this? It was on like, you know, it popped up or something. Let me just look at this.
Right.
And I started with season three.
If you've ever seen Love After Lockup, like this is one of those shows where people are like, I've never heard of it, or I cannot get enough of this fucking show. Like
it is.
You have your specific favorite person.
It is seriously
person.
Crack.
Like
it is crack, not cocaine.
Right.
It is crack.
It's out of the aluminum foil syringe, not pipe.
Yes. Rubber.
Maybe some bath salts in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I
because it's basically people.
I'm gonna hit some more of this tequila.
Go for
do you mind?
You know, basically people who have been having relationships with people in jail. And they're just about to get out. So they've had relationships with them for 3 to 4 years while they're in there. Met them while they were in jail. Like there's actual pen pal websites.
Okay, so they didn't know them before they went to jail.
No.
It wasn't like...
Oh, so one of them did. One of them did. And
well, that changes the whole thing.
One of them did before he went in. They only went on one date, one or two dates. And he went in jail and she waited him for 3 years. Waited for him for 3 years. And she was fucking nuts.
Right.
Not the guy in jail, the one who came. She was nuts. But so it's all these guys who have these relationships with women that they've never met. And
so
they come out.
Do they do like a whole, like is the first episode just doing a recap of their whole relationship while they're in prison and then the show starts when they get out?
It starts when it sets up like who is the person who's in love with someone. So it's like, oh, well, let me... And they show you that person, and they give you a breakdown of.
So say I'm in jail.
Right.
Okay, I'm in jail.
They don't go to you yet. They go to the person.
They go to the person that's waiting for me.
Right.
They talk about how they started the relationship.
Right. Right.
What I'm in jail for.
Right. Right.
And now, are there certain levels of people that they won't like? They're not going to be like,
he
was in jail
murders
for.
Yeah, okay. All right. I don't think so. Okay. I mean, I haven't seen anybody.
It's like burglary or
something. Drug possession or something. They've been in there. Like, lose one guy was in for. Maybe 8 years. He was in eight or nine years. You know, 3, 4, 5 years.
How am I single? And there's people in jail for 8 years that have fiancés.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Each one of them is so, like one is in Iowa. One takes place in Iowa. One takes place in St. Louis. One takes place in Kentucky. Mm. So it's kind of rural place or whatever. This one guy who had been married four times and had six engagements and has six kids. And he's an Indian. He's white, but he believes he's part of the Lakota tribe.
Oh.
So he has a golden eagle wing in his refrigerator, in a freezer, that he shows.
In the house or in the prison?
In his house.
Okay.
No, he's out of prison. He used to be in prison for forging checks, but he's out of prison.
Okay.
And he finds this woman who was in for drug.
Oh, she's in prison.
She's in prison.
Oh, they do that too.
She's in prison.
Ah.
He used to be in prison. She's in prison.
I gender appropriated and thought that it was all dudes in prison.
No, no. This woman came out and she had 3 hours to go from getting out of jail to the halfway house 3 hours away.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
In Iowa.
Right.
Or, you know, she gets parole. I mean,
she violates parole.
He took his pickup truck and converted it into a Indian tribal wedding thing.
Okay.
And bed.
Uh-huh.
So when he picked her up in the limo from the jail, when he gets out and sees her for the first time after they've been talking for 5 months, I think.
Uh-huh.
For the first time, he proposes to her. They go back to his truck after the limo, go back to his truck.
And
he wanted to have to consummate the relationship there. They didn't have enough time. They got married and they had to hurry to go back to Iowa to put her in the halfway house.
Wow.
And then she relapses in the halfway house and gets sent back to jail. And he is living with her mother and her sister for 7 months. And the sister, who is in jail for drug possession, is out of jail now, was taking care of him, and she was having feelings for him, and he's trying not to have feelings for her, and then she gets out, and the mother, who's on an oxygen tank, and goes, you know, I heard noises from the bedroom, you better ask her. She's like, if I see that my sister was fucking with my man, I'm going to kill her.
Wait, so
they can't meet either. She has to kick the sister out of the house because they can't be in a house together or meet because they're both on parole and it'll be too dangerous. So she sends the sister out. The guy sends the sister out before she even gets home. And then she talks to the sister, the one who's in jail, talks to the mother. They come back. And they have to meet secretly in the park. The sister's in the park. And she's like, well, did you fuck my husband? And she's like, well, I take care of him. You've been in jail. You know, I know him better than you. I know his routines. I'm a better wife than you are. That's just one of them. And I just brushed over half of the stuff. Although, that's just one of the stories.
I'm going to tell you straight up, dude, that I might just watch you retell the episode instead of watching the actual episode. That was entertaining as fuck just now. You want to take a walk?
Dude, you don't understand.
Do you need a towel?
But for me, it's fascinating. Yeah. It really is fascinating.
Okay, so let me ask you this then, because, I mean, we're kind of coming up to the end here, but like, we'll talk about this shit again.
Of course.
We'll talk. We should do it. We should do a part two. Let's do a part two to this.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of shit we didn't get to.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
But do you think that it's the love scenario on reality TV is more like Love After Lockdown? Because that sounds like some real shit that people fucking really fight about. You know, jealousy, commitment, family situation, all that other stuff, or do you think it's more real Bachelor style or Bachelor in Paradise or just like really pretty people getting together and fucking meeting or the Married at First Sight where we have a counselor involved?
I really think it's a reflection, honestly, a reflection of America and people actually here. It really, really is.
Which one?
And that, all of them.
All of it.
Because now we're just telling the stories of the 90 Day Fiancé was going on without being filmed. People are still doing this.
Yeah.
They just happen to film it.
Yeah.
Real Housewives, you know, that's also kind of scripted a little bit, you know, that kind of stuff. But like some of The Bachelor, whatever, you know, these people, that's a little put on because it's 25. That's not realistic of a 25 women with one dude. But in reality, if in life, a good-looking guy who has all that money can have 25 fucking women after him and go on all these dates with and pick and choose. This just happens to be concentrated in one little thing.
Yeah.
So I think reality, these some of these reality shows are basically a snippet of what America's really like, and now we're just seeing the not ugliness, but the real America, and that to me is fascinating. Like I didn't have any idea that people were doing pen pals in prison.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I mean, yes, but like,
not to that extent.
Not to this extent of like, oh, really?
Yeah,
really. You know that really? That's really what's going on with these. You're gonna get out of jail. Okay, you're gonna be out of jail for going to jail at 17, Quaylon.
Right, Quaylon.
And get out at 28 and talk to Chevelle with her daughter, who's, you know, six.
Okay.
And once he's never been with, I mean, at 17, he gets down at 28. He's only been in jail.
So you have.
So these... he gets out and his mother, Quilandria.
Okay, these are hard names.
And his sister, you know, Quaylonica, they all have cute, you know. Then he comes out and she wants to have a relationship with him and the daughter is calling him daddy.
Yeah.
And she hasn't even, I mean, so this is real slice of life that we're just seeing it.
That's what I'm saying.
So how much is it there is love and emotions and feelings involved. I think we're just seeing it and maybe it's just heightened just a little bit because of the cameras.
That's what I was going to say too, is that like there's certain shows for quote unquote reality, right?
Yeah.
Like your show that you're talking about right now is reality. Do you know what I mean? Like
right.
We're just watching, it's like watching anything on AMC. It's like watching Intervention. Is that reality TV?
Right.
I wouldn't say so.
Right.
I mean, it's reality TV, but like it's like documentary TV,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
What you're did you ever see 60 Days In?
No.
Oh, dude, you're going to love 60 Days In.
60 Days In. Is that a sobriety or something?
No. People volunteered to go pretend to be prisoners in lockdown, high security prisons, to find out what's going on, to tell the police that run the prisons what's going on in their cells,
oh my
in their
God.
Shit.
And why would you do? How much would you need to do that?
I would never do it. Watching what they're going through on a constant basis.
What's the motivation to do that?
These people are like ex-Marines or they just, I don't know, man. Some of them are like, I just feel like I could do it. I feel like I could help the society. I feel like,
our
prison system. Some of them are ex-prison guards, you know, that go in there because they figure this is a whole thing. But now the show has been so popular that they've been playing it in the prisons on TV because it's on AMC. And now like people will be in there and they're like, wait, is this 60 Days In? Like they'll know
you
in the prison. No.
What channel is this?
It's AMC or A&E.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. See, I think A&E is the same thing that Love After Lockup is on or something, right? Is it A&E?
No, they're on. It's literally like It's like WTF.
Yeah, man.
Like,
we didn't even get to like the Dr. Drew shit.
No, we got a whole.
We didn't get to the.
Yeah, we got a lot.
There's a whole channel of celebrity shit that we haven't fucking got to. So we'll, you know what?
We'll explore.
You know what? I'm gonna ask you to come back.
Yeah.
How about next time we kind of like wrap up the love thing?
Okay.
And then maybe talk about like challenge-based reality TV?
Yeah, we can.
I'm gonna try and get like one of my friends from one of these shows that are on these shows to maybe come and talk to us about what it's like to be on like one of these, you know, Survivor-type shows and maybe talk with us.
That'd be cool, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
And like find out what that was like. But I think what we kind of come to the conclusion to a little bit is that there's different types of like what love is.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of people from what they were little, what they see in their everyday life compared to what they see and dream about in like movies and stuff, you know, so like the Bachelor franchise is like Prince Charming.
It is.
And like riding off on a horse. And that's the whole way it was presented. And I'm going to go meet the love
of
my life.
And that's why women love watching it.
It's Cinderella. Where's the shoe?
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't like, oh, it's that chick right there. And we exchanged numbers and she's awesome. He was like, oh no, I don't really know her well enough. Who's going to fit the shoe?
Right.
If the shoe fits.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's basically what The Bachelor is based off of. Whereas what you're talking about with Love After Lockup and 90 Day Fiancé and all that other stuff, it's like real shit. Even Married at First Sight starts getting a little real shitty because it's like, you know, do we get along? Do we not get along? Like,
it's a setup premise and then they let it go.
Yeah.
Those other ones are kind of like already going and they just pick up on it.
Right. This, but even now, like, Haley trying to get Jake to wear a shirt that isn't fucking, so he doesn't look like an asshole. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's like that kind of like, that's real life stuff, you know?
Don't get a me little started bit on Haley.
Well, I'm opposite. I hate Jake. I hate all the dudes on that show, to be honest.
Steak
with
and
you.
Eggs, I call them. Steak and Eggs.
Steak and Eggs.
He ate 8 eggs the other night.
Yeah, when he knew that somebody, that they were going to come and fucking cook.
And he took the
cook.
Steak. Did you see the steak?
He took the steak out of the fucking refrigerator, man. That dude sucks. All those dudes on that show suck. All of them. Even the little guy, Ryan.
I like Vinny. Vinny's nice.
Who the fuck's Vinny?
Vinny with the beard. The
oh,
the
yeah, mini. But he freaks out, man.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, he has flaws, but he's a nice guy. He seems
he seems like he has the only child syndrome, and if he's not getting his way or he's uncomfortable in any situation, he acts like a fucking child.
He does. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Even the salsa dancing, everything. He acts like a child.
Right.
And Ryan.
Don't even. The elf?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even. He's either gay.
Or he's a virgin.
He's gay. He's gay. He's got to be gay.
You think he's gay?
They're doing everything but.
They're doing it in the butt?
No, they're doing they're doing everything but. She's like, I take care of him every night.
Yeah.
And he's still not. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's no reason if you're married to your wife for, and now it's 8 weeks.
And you can tell that he's not listening to her. He's dismissing. Because anybody who agrees and with everything you say right away, like
for sure,
right, right, yeah, right,
for sure,
right, yep, yep,
that's what
yep,
he says, for sure,
right,
for sure,
yep, okay, yep. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's dismissing everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in his mind, so you think the religion has something to play in that?
I think religion is a huge, and I think that's why Chris and Paige, I gave it a 30% bump, the religion aspect of it. I gave it a 30% bump. That if they were going to make it or not, because they both she stayed in it because under God on the we've been married, and that's enough to have her go through that abuse that she went through.
Dude, also though, at one point it was like this is on you now.
Yeah,
it was on Chris the entire time until you wouldn't leave.
But I think the religion part aspect is a huge thing. Because
but when you say under God, it's God's plan. You're giving up all responsibility.
But they do that anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. All the dudes sucked, and some of the girls. I don't think they did a good job. These professionals, man. I don't know about how professional they are, because I'm like, all these people don't belong together.
Everybody right now. I think everybody in society right now. You can never find someone who's going to be perfect for you.
No, but you don't put MAGA fucking. Airline pilot with drinking liberal lesbian sister, you know what I mean? Like that's fine if it's going to be TV, but don't call yourself a professional matchmaker I'm going, one plus one doesn't equal three.
But she was 26 and he was 34. She needed that, you know.
And he was an alcoholic, or she's an alcoholic, right. And he doesn't want her to sleep at her friend's house. Like, right, those are basic things that, like, you don't, that relationship doesn't last a month in the real world.
But we're watching.
Yeah. Well, I'm always watching.
And there's usually one or two couples that will surprise you. Like, last year, there was two couples that I said, from the beginning, those two are not going to work. Both of them lasted and are thriving. And I would say, never.
I think there's something to be said, though, about having friends on reality television shows and, like, having friends, not just, you know, the Bravo shows, but like having friends that have been on a lot of reality shows, I think there's something about like going through that experience together.
Mm.
And then when the taping's over, like I'm going to blow you up a little bit, but like you're a pretty well-known person. You're pretty famous, right? So like but you take that with your job.
Right.
Right. That comes with your job. With these reality people, once the TV cameras go down and then all of a sudden they realize that people have been watching them, and they've gone, and now they're famous, and now people are asking for their autographs, and people are walking up to them and saying shit and like recognizing them. It either splits you apart because like you get a big head and like blah blah blah, like the TLC people, which we'll get to eventually, but like, or it brings you together because you now you're sharing in that experience after the cameras are off.
Yes, and you don't know how that's going to affect you.
Right, and like only that
I was at the travel show downtown, and I saw Asuelu, and I almost lost my mind.
Yeah, the only people that I get fucking fangirled about is fucking reality people. So don't even get me started on that. But when those cameras are off and you shared that experience.
Yes.
It's more about like, oh, we're those people from that show, and we went through that together.
Right.
Now let's see if
but
we
can.
But
that could give you more of a bond. It could give you,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it could give you that's, more bond, or it could make, it all depends on what the couple is doing. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to have you come back.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Let's do it. Yeah, of
did
course.
You have, is no, that cool?
That's great.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, that was fun, man.
All right, good. We're going to have you come back. We're going to, and we'll talk more about this. And then I would love to talk to you about the other reality shit, because you watch all of it.
I watch a lot.
And I've been looking for a fucking co-host, man. I've been looking for somebody to help
me.
I've been looking for somebody. All right. Well, guys, remember, if you enjoy this show, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories such as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, and iHeart. You can find us at Believe.com, B-L-E-A-V.com, and at Believe Podcasts. Please rate the show on iTunes and follow me at Forever's Evers, F-O-R-E-E-V-E. F-O-R-E-V-E-R-S-E-V-O-R-S. What's your Instagram, Chris?
Chris.Williams_. Chris.Williams_.
And did you have a Twitter?
Not the guy from Married for Sam.
Yeah.
And Twitter is Chris_Williams_.
And then you have the show Upload coming out?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm about to shoot a Disney film called Hollywood Star Girl.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Fun stuff. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you, and I look forward to the next time, because you and I got a lot to talk about,
yes,
my buddy.
Indeed.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.